100 years ago, on the eve of the Great War, World War I, a war no one saw coming, there was a moment in the 20th century to bravely break with tradition in every way. The modernism of Igor Stravinsky's Rite of Spring caused a riot, even in avant-garde Paris back in 1913. But in conservative America, modernism may have been alive and well in the growing industrial cities and the culture of the machine age. But in culture, and particularly art, America was steeped in tradition, a largely European tradition.
What was happening in our art world in 1913? I mean, what was happening? Were we completely conservative or orthodox in our tastes in art?
I think that was the trouble. Nothing was happening. American art was dominated by academic standards and what was called the Academy. They tended to dominate aesthetic standards as well as exhibition facilities, and there was very little opportunity for young, unknown, or progressive artists who were not academic to show.
That's New York art historian Milton Brown back in 1963 being interviewed about the event in America that shocked the art and culture world and brought America into the 20th century aesthetically, the February 17, 1913 Armory Show in New York City, Chicago, and Boston, the first large exhibition of modern art in America.
This was a very important and, for the American public, the American art public, a shocking event. It was probably the most important exhibition that was ever held in this country, and as an art exhibition, probably had the greatest effect that any ever had.
The Armory Show was certainly modern. Was it art? Teddy Roosevelt said no publicly, and many agreed, but many visitors who witnessed the show also saw it as an exciting introduction to the upending of aesthetic traditions going on in Europe and around the world. A century after the Armory Show, and it is a century this weekend, where are we? Joining me now, James Pinero, the managing editor of the New Criterion, and Barbara Haskell, a curator at the Whitney Museum. Barbara and James, welcome.
Thank you.
So where are we now? Who was exhibited at that Armory exhibit 100 years ago? And they're in collections here in some of the museums in New York and would be described today as conservative modernists.
Well, actually, what's interesting about Milton Brown, what he was saying is that, in fact, the Academy did hold all the cards in terms of where artists could exhibit. So the group that started the Armory Show, that launched it with the idea that they would show progressive realism, and they thought that was very modern. And the idea of including Europeans was something that was only added on later. And of course, the one-third of the inclusions in the show that were European was what rocketed, sort of shook the art world so dramatically.
What were the titles, James?
Well, most famously, probably Nude Descending the Staircase,
Duchamp. Right.
Which elicited such a great reaction from the popular press, most famously described as an explosion in the shingle factory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And did the Armory Show in some ways create this kind of tension between modern art and what is real art in America that you can see echoes of from time to time? Every time Jeff Koons comes out with something or Damien Hirst has an exhibit, there's always this sort of tension. I'm wondering if it echoes the Armory Show.
Well, one of the things that the Armory Show organizers did very well is they even before the show opened, they announced that being radical was something okay, that to be modern, to be advanced was to be in the 20th century. So in a way, Thomas Hart Benton, for example, was, you know, looking back on the Armory Show later, said that what it did is it brought in a vogue for novelty. And to some extent, when you're mentioning Jeff Koons, there is this desire that still exists, I think, that to be modern is to be novel. To be modern is to do something new.
And to be in New York, which was not the case back then, James.
Yeah, but I want to make a point because I love hearing Milton Brown's voice 50 years ago. But I think he's a little wrong in saying America was purely conservative at the time. We should remember, for one thing, it was American artists that created the Armory Show. In a way, the most radical thing about the show was the show itself.
George Bellows, an American artist, was in the show, who's known for his boxing paintings and many, many others. What are some of the American artist standouts from the Armory Show?
Well, the realists, essentially, were the ones that organized the show, and they dominated the American inclusion. So people like Robert Henri, John Sloan, William Glackens, the artists that depicted the urban landscape.
How did the museum scene change in New York as a result of this Armory show? Suddenly there was permission to do things that institutions wouldn't have done.
The Armory show created the seeds for many major American collections, ones that went the new Descending the Staircases in Philadelphia, Baltimore, the Met, MoMA, the Yale Art Gallery. All that came out of the Armory show.
I think the interesting part is what the Armory show initially did was to create a whole group of new collectors. And from that, the galleries sprang up. They saw that that showing modern art could be lucrative. And the museums took a while to catch up. The Whitney and Museum of Modern Art weren't founded, after all, until 1929-30.
Talking with Barbara Haskell, who's curator at the Whitney Museum, and James Panero, managing editor of the new Criterion. Whenever the Whitney holds a biennial, I always think of it as kind of an echo of the Armory show in the sense there's a deliberate sense of being radical, but it's all very New York, which was definitely not the case 100 years ago. Do you find that?
Well, I think the biennials are a recap, a recasting of the Armory show, very definitely. And unlike the Armory show, which was primarily New York based, the biennials have tried to be more national in scope.
I would disagree a little bit. I think the biennials often are a disappointment to me, and I think they're a simulacrum of the Armory show. But if you want to really see
imitation, not real.
That, to me, it is. And if you want to see what's out there, I think you have to go out to the outer borough neighborhoods in New York and other art communities like that.
I think one of the things we forget about the Armory show is it was huge. There were over 1,000 entries in the show. So it was able to be much more expansive than any museum can do in a biennial survey.
And if you want to experience the Armory show, our friends at Studio 360 have much more on the show. You can go online, just search for Studio 360 and Culture Shock, and you can find it there. I'm wondering if either of you were at the show 100 years ago, what place would you rush to look at, James?
I thought about having a time machine to go to the show. Probably to see the reaction in front of the nude descending the staircase.
Barbara?
I think the nude has to be the pulse point that everyone would gravitate to. It was the one piece that you had to see if you were a viewer to the show.
And where is the Armory show today? It's sort of dissipated around New York, not dissipated in a bad sense, among the gallery scene, up in the Meat District where the new Whitney Museum is going up. Alive and well?
I think the art scene is alive and well.
I'm a little more skeptical.
I wonder, are we living up to the ideals of 1913? Not completely. Barbara's right. There is a very vibrant art scene. But when I cover the outer borough art scene, I cover the galleries, and there's a lot of disappointment out there with the amount of attention the big stars get, the auction house prices.
What we need is a new Armory show in New York 100 years later. James Panero is managing editor of the new Criterion. Barbara Haskell is curator at the Whitney Museum. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This week, in honor of Valentine's Day, we've been hearing your six-word stories of love and loss. We've been amazed with the humor, the tragedy, the honesty, the creativity, the gratitude.
This is Joe Gore calling from Renz, Georgia. My wife and I met 48 years ago on a high school exchange trip from Georgia to Wisconsin. And my six-word story of love is, on a train, changed my life. Thanks.
On a train, changed my life. Best of friends, worst of mates, says Ben from Ossining. Francis from the Pacific Northwest should have picked the English guy. Boy, do I want to know more. And Gibson Girl in Texas writes, you cheated, I took your stuff. Happy ending there. Share your six-word story of love or loss at Twitter using the hashtag #6words or call 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.